I'd like to start with a verse in the 119th Psalm. In the 143rd verse, it says, "Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights." Trouble and anguish. I think the idea of what the writer had in mind was the idea of someone being pursued. You ever felt like you're pursued by trouble? It's not far behind you. I can assure you that trouble's on your trail. That's kind of the way this was written. That trouble chases you. Trouble and anguish is after you. And it's just at any moment it can overtake you. And there you're stuck with it. And it lays hold on you. Do you feel that? Can you relate with the idea that it seems like you're making a good run for it and everything's sunshining and going well, then just all of a sudden, trouble and anguish gets hold of you. And I met a man recently, and he was telling me his story, and I like to repeat it a little bit because it kind of tells how it was. He said, "I was a strong man. He was a big man, a large man, and he said I could just about lift anything that I wanted to. And doing this, and he was a young, middle-aged man. To me, he was younger, but." He was one Saturday, I think he said, he was fooling with some stuff, and a piece of equipment that he was getting fell off of a trailer, I think he said, and just like that, it fell on him, and he said he was amazed that he wasn't broken anywhere. Said he was bruised almost all of his body, but there was a little scratch, he told me, just a little puncture on his back, and after looked him all over, said, "You was a very fortunate man, could have killed you. No ribs was broken, nothing happened to him." And he said, took him some time to recover from that fall, and he got to feeling really good for just a little while. Then not after that, he started feeling bad and bad and bad and worse, finally to the point that he told his wife, said, "You either take me to the doctor or take me to the morgue. Yeah, I feel that bad," he said. Well, he went in and they found out that he had a blood poisoning of some kind, of a blood infection, and the blood infection had eaten part of the valve of his heart off. And one little event on a Saturday morning, just a little event, changed this man's whole life from what he could look and say possibly had 20, 30 years of good laboring health left in him, he could have said, but trouble and anguish was after him. And it caught up with him and laid hold on him and got him right there. But I'm glad for the rest of this scripture because it says, "Yet the commandments of the Lord are my delight." If that's what it have been trusting in, folks, if it's what you're trusting in, you're going to be disappointed. It'll lay a disappointment on you because it doesn't hold up. I run through this all the time, but the Lord wants us to have something solid about our lives. I believe that. I believe he wants us to be secured. Yeah. Secure. He wants us to be secure. Knowing where we're at. Knowing where we're going. Knowing. I would hate to think that something could come along and that would take all of my pieces. We heard last night. Take all of the experience that I had and leave me without anything. But I'm not trusting in that. The commandments of the Lord are my delight. And when all this other comes, I still have something that has just as much delight in it as it's ever had in it. It is delightful. I've had experiences like that, and I appreciate those experiences. Back when I was very young in the Lord, within a year or two, just very young in the Lord, I got real sick one time, and Brother Leslie put out these, and it was for the children, I think. He put out these little tapes, and he had all these little stories on there. And I had ordered all of them from him. And that week of being sick, trouble and anguish had pursued me and caught me. But I rejoiced all week long in my spirit listening to those. I know there's kind of for the young people or children or something, but they really was for everybody, because I just fed off of this encouraging. The commandments of the Lord is my delight. The word anguish here means pressed. It means no room to move. You ever get into the place that no room to move? Well, I have an experience. It's been really for years. I've known that my house, the house I live in, the floors shake on it. I mean, quite a bit. And I've always known that I needed to fix it. Thought about it for a long time. Thought about it. But the problem that I've had with it is that there's no crawl space under my house. And that brings a problem. And many a night, especially winter nights, I've sat in my house and the children would run through and the stuff would vibrate around the house. And I would say to myself, it would be nice to fix that. And I would imagine how easy it would be if it was 4 foot of clearance in under there. I think sometimes I'd do it right now if it was like that. But there's not 4 feet. There's just a little, there's no crawl space under there. I couldn't even think about doing it if it wasn't for the width of the floor joists being 10 inches. And I could, but it's very, very tight under there. Well, this year I had determined, after many years, but I had determined, I think I determined it last year too, but I'm determining it that I'm going to begin, because there's got to be a way to make it solid. There's a way. It's going to take something. It's not going to be just, I'll be done in a half hour. But it really needs to be solid. I don't like things that shake around and fall off the I want it to be solid. So I determined that I was going to start this project. So before we left on this last trip, I got my son. I even told him, this is not going to be just a normal chore. I'm going to pay you for this endeavor here. This is, because I'm going to need your size. Because I'm just too many camp meetings. I'm not like I used to be. But I got to do it. I'm going to know. I've got to get in there and do it. But you're going to be the one that brings me the stuff. The tools, the level, everything. I want you to be the one that goes in and out, because it's going to be really, really hard for me to do that. So I get in under there and I have to kind of make a passage that old passage I had for another project one time. I got through there and I literally can't roll over. I'm on my belly and there's no way to roll over. I can barely even get the stuff by me to do that, to get this done. I want it to be solid. I don't want it shifting. I don't want it moving around. You know, I don't want my spiritual life moving around either. I don't want to just go here with this movement or there with that movement, or a new thought introduce itself and I'm going to give thought and attention to that, or move over here or shake off the shelf because something happens. Do you know? I know a lot of people that have got discouraged and losing ground because of trouble. Because of trouble. But God don't want trouble to move us. He wants trouble to make us. There's a design there. It'll do something. We can allow this to make it better. And the Lord wants us to solid up, to be solid, secured in our experience. And I felt like I got under there and I had some determination that I'm going to do that. And I found out once I got under there that my determination started... It started being put to the test. Now, how determined are you? because the actuality of it, there's a lot of dust under there. It was, I'm in flood zone, and there was a lot of old silt that had flooded in under there. It's very, very dry and dusty. Cobwebs, I had to fight through the old cobwebs. Got in there, it smells bad. Dirt, I'm breathing dust, all this. But if I come out of there, my floor is going to shake. Now, I was only taking on a side, just my bedroom area. I wanted it to be solid. So I got my jack, and I was jacking, and it was real tight. And I don't know why I did it. I had a hand over there to help myself, and I got my finger caught in the jack. And it pinched my finger in the jack. And now, to top it off, I'm bleeding. Blood's running down there. It's very unsanitary. And I'm about to say, I'm going to determine to do this later. But you know what? I was under there. The floor wasn't solid. I wanted it to be solid. And I thought, I'm in a press. I can barely move. I felt like I'm not really claustrophobic, but there was times that I sort of wanted to expand out. Just because it was tight in there. You know, it's life. Life brings those kind of places. I got it, what I thought, jacked up the lamp, put everything in there, and the ground, of course, in there isn't good and solid, and when I let the jack off, it just pushed it down into the ground. Oh no, gotta do it again. Put some more under there, keep going, and I finally did get a couple blocks set. It made a world of difference, a lot more solid in there. I'm glad I done it. I was in there under a press. But it's solid. It's solid. It would be real wonderful in our experience that everything we wanted to do, you had plenty clearance to do it. And it was real easy to do it. And you always had that third hand that you need. You always have somebody there that's ready. Always that. But you know, that's not the way this thing works. I find out that if you really, really want these things, it's always under the press. It's always being put in the tight spot. In that place, though, there is a blessing to go through that and come out of that. And I think there's victory through it if we can just get ourselves set that it isn't about that. We put importance on things that has no right to put importance on. We put great importance sometimes on the trial rather than the victory. We'll put our eyes on the battle instead of on Christ. There's nothing important about that. It's important what we get out of it in Jesus. But we get our eyes off of the accomplishment of it. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I crawled under. I'm glad I done it. It gives me encouragement because I done the easy part. I got a long ways to go to secure the rest of it. But I know that it can be done and it needs to be done. And you know what? It's going to be tougher the next time. It's going to be more crawling. It's going to be more squeezing. And I'm going to be farther from escape. I'm going to be farther away from getting out into the sunshine. The next time I have to do it, there's going to be a place that it's going to be a long ways before I ever get out of there. It's going to be squeezing and turning and tight to do it. If it never gets done, I'm only out a little shaking. But if we don't secure our souls, if we don't do whatever it takes in this life to make sure that we can make it, through whatever it is that comes, have the experience with the Lord, we can be out of a lot more than that. So Lord, help us tonight that we don't just, trouble and anguish is chasing you. Tight places are going to, they're going to catch every one of us. If I could be so bold to predict, I'd say there's not a person in here that's not going to be under the gun in this next year sometime. Because that's life. And it can really, really press sometimes and be a place that you don't know. Have you ever been in a place that you'd love to do what's right, but you really don't know what right is? You'd love to be able to solve your problem. And you're asking the Lord to help you solve your problem, but you don't know what to do. You just don't know what to do. It's just a tight, tight place in there. Anguish, trouble. And yet in that, that's not my delight. My delight is in the Lord. He brings such delight. He brings such life and vitality. No matter where it's at, they've been in my experience, I've been able to see. If I get to looking, I get to see something that's more important. The first year I was saved, I got sick. Well, I'd been praying and dealing with the Lord and seeing people and praying for people that were sick and those kind of things. And I remember thinking, I want to trust the Lord. I want to trust the Lord, but everything's going good. It's not really a trial. I wasn't really asking for a trial, but I really had set in my heart, I really, really want to trust the Lord. I wonder if I can. I want to trust the Lord. You know, and I got sick, and I got really sick and fevered, and I felt terrible in my body, but I felt so good. I had such victory. There was such a presence of the Lord in my life. It's one of the high points of my life in the middle of this terrible flu that I had with a high fever. I felt so good in my spirit that it overwhelmed the all of the sore throat and all of the fever and all the aching and all that. It so overwhelmed it that I think I got a taste of heaven. I got a taste of the presence of the Lord. You know, it was pressing and it was anguish and it was trouble, but it made solid places in my life. It made me to know that in the presence of the Lord, in His presence is the fullness of joy. Do you know if we can get close enough to the Lord, I believe that's victory in any circumstance. Folks, we're going to have pressings all around us designed of the Lord, allowed of the Lord, pressings. Every one of them is to make solid, to make gain, to get good to us. Look with me at another scripture. Oh, it's a familiar story. It's over in Matthew 13th chapter. Oh, let's see. I think I'm going to start with the 24th. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. The servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto them, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow up together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them to bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat to my barn. Well, 36th verse says, Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. His disciples came unto him saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the wicked, or the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Tares? Growing up with the wheat? It's a part of life. This scripture is telling us plainly, you'll never get out away from the tares. The tares are everywhere. What are they for then? I mean, I know it said, well, men slept, but God don't sleep. God didn't do it, and He said He didn't do it. He sowed good seeds. But men slept, and the enemy come in, and God knows what the enemy's up to. And God didn't stop it or make a plan that stopped it. And He allowed the seed to be sown while men slept. If you want to call it indifference or wasn't watching or whatever, but He sowed. And He sowed into the world, and the tares, when they come up, it's called the wheat. It is like a wheat. It's a grass. It looks similar. Grows up a lot similar. You can't eat it. It's bad stuff. Mixes in together. And it gives me an idea about the life that we are living. Sometimes we want a perfect life. And we'll say, I want everything out of my life that rubs me wrong. I don't want to live by unsaved neighbors. I don't want to work with unsaved people. I don't want to have any association with any of that stuff. So I'll change occupation. I'll change where I live. I'll change the circumstances of my life. Let me tell you something. I want a congregation with everybody spiritual giants. Yeah. I want to worship in a place where everybody's toned up to spirituality. Amen. And no out of orders. Everything's right there. We'll do it. And it will be euphoria. It'll be unbelievable. It will be untrue. It's not what it is. You know, the fact of it is that the gospel is not seen brightly that way. The gospel is shown brighter when you have to see the tares compared to the wheat. We all gonna have to do it. And I'm gonna say something about this scripture, and it's not accusing in any way, but it is to stir us to this idea. In a congregation of this size, there's wheat and there's tares. There's tares here tonight. You don't have to be one. But the scripture's definition is, let's let them grow up together. But God, Lord, can't you do something? It looks to me like that would be a bad example to have tares in the visible church. It looks like it wouldn't be what it could be, what it ought to be. But the reality of it is that the wheat, you know what the wheat has to do? The wheat has to grow stronger because of the tares. It's got to grow higher, stronger, got to head out bigger. It's got to perform better. It's got to struggle in the roots of it. With the tares trying to take the nutrition away, the time away, trying to take the spirituality away, drawing everything away. The wheat's got to fight for that. We've got to fight to make our life solid. We got to fight. I'm going to tell you. One of the commentator writers wrote this. He said, the grace of God needs continual attention. But weeds, tares, are the natural plant. By nature, they grow. Weeds don't need your attention to grow. They grow by nature. You don't have to hoe them, fertilize them, tend them, take care of them. By nature, they grow profusely. But the grace of God needs continual care and attention. The gospel in our lives needs careful attention. It needs to be always looked at. The fact of it is, we look many times and say, get me out of this. Brother, don't get out till you get solid. There's going to be tears in your life. I worked with a guy one time, and I think I could have told him plainly, you're a tear. was one of the biggest challenges to me. And I honestly wanted, many times, I wished that he wouldn't work with me. But when he come and said, I'm quitting, I'm going to quit, I'm going to go into another job. I remember going home that day and I thought I'd be elated, and I wasn't. I went home saying, I've never really had the victory over this guy that I thought I should have had. And I went away and I started praying, Lord, don't let him leave. Don't let this guy leave until I know your grace is able. Until I've got the victory over this situation. Until this part that's rubbed me so much that I know God's got grace for this situation. That's exactly what happened. He stayed. The Lord blessed. We become very good friends. He even stopped to see me a number of times at my home. I was at his, he invited me to his wedding. I went to his wedding. We become close. He was a challenge to me. He was a tear in my life. He rubbed me wrong. He was always trying to do things against my Christian life and all those things. But you know, he helped perfect me. Oh, he didn't start off with the idea, hey, I think I'll perfect Marty. I know he wants to get there. No, he was just doing what tares do naturally. He was just, he was contending, always contending. What, then what's the answer? My delight is in the commandment of the Lord. That's it. Lord, help me to take advantage of all this in life. It's never been a plan of God that we live without tares. We would love it. We think we would. But the gospel was never meant to grow in that kind of a place. The gospel grows best and it shows brightest when it's struggled against. When it's trying to get, look at history if you don't believe me. Look at the apostles' lives. They were tares in their life continually. Tares. Problems. People. Always in there. They shone out above all of it. The wheat's job is to get a hold and grow above the tares. You know what the bottom line of it is? There's not much difference in the stalks. There's not much different in the blades. But you don't eat the blades. You don't eat the stalk. The difference is in the grain. It's in the fruit. So that's what we're pursuing. We're pursuing the fruit. That in the middle of this, it doesn't say what the proportion is. Some spots I'd like probably had more wheat. There's probably wheat that was totally surrounded by tares. But it's still a part of the plan. There is some that think that it would be impossible. It would be impossible to show the grace of God in a place without them. Think about it. What's your greatest struggle? What's been your greatest problems? Tears. The challenge of it. I look at this and say, Lord, help me. Am I being a tear in somebody's life? Lord, help me. It all looks the same. What this scripture is particularly talking about is hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. It looks like, it acts like, to most of its life, folks, it's not discernible to the farmer. God knows everything. God knows the difference between the tare and the wheat, but man's eyes can't see the difference. It's talking about hypocrisy so fine-tuned that we can't even see it. It's talking about pretending to be, that you're not. It's talking about having something down people that have a profession of something that looks like something, that does something, but really inside they don't have it, and the amount of friction that they call, it's called a tear. It don't fruit out. It don't do anything, and yet it's always present. You know what he said? The kingdom was like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The gospel is like this. The church of God is like this. You will always have an element of tares. So we're saying, well, we're going to accept that. We want to influence the whole thing to godliness. I look around at it and say, I know this is true in my life. I cannot deny this. This is true in my life. The greatest, best things that happened to me was the struggles that I had. The frictions that I had to say, am I going to turn into the tear tube? Or am I going to stand up and bear fruit here? Am I going to be a hypocrite and have a profession of something and inside allow this to be something different than what I know I ought to be? Or am I going to stand up and be and speak and do what I'm supposed to do in Christ and head out in fruit and show this in spite of it all? You know, that's a challenge to me. I'll be honest with you. My wife can testify. We say it all the time. Something will happen and maybe somebody will do something and we'll say, ouch, that hurt. But we don't say, how can we get back at them? We say, Lord, help us to remember the hurt of it. That we would never be guilty of using that same hurt on somebody else. We've learned something. I've learned from the tear. I've been strengthened by the tear. I have an understanding that doesn't feel good. And rise above it. Folks, what God wants His true people to do is rise above it and be saints. Above the weeds and the tares that will be in life. You will have tares on your jobs. You'll have tares as neighbors. And there'll be tares sitting beside you on the pew sometimes. And God wants the true believers to rise above that. In faith, above that. Doesn't that hurt? Yes, it hurt. But my delight wasn't on them. My delight's in Jesus. Jesus is my delight. Jesus is the one that approves or disapproves. It's Jesus. Lord, help me to shine out as Jesus shines out. Was there tares in Jesus' life? Was he ever in anguish? Pressed. Almost unmovable. Did he have trouble? Smitten and stricken. Yes, that was the Lord. Despised. By what? By the obvious tares that was allowed to grow up in his life. Folks, do you know it would have been impossible? It would have been impossible for Jesus to have been crucified without the tares. He had to. He had to die for us. It would have been impossible without them. It would have been impossible for Jesus to show you how much he loves you unless somebody drew back that whip. Unless somebody spit on his face. Unless somebody in cruelty took that thorn. No, he's king. He's king. Let's crown him king. Stick it down there real good on his head. Jesus loves us. You know how I know? Because he endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. He conquered. He rose above it. He didn't stay down there and argue with it, fight with it. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. You know what the Lord wants us to do? In the middle of the tares? Show a better way of life in the fighting and fussing and disturbance of life. He wants his people to show there's something higher than that. We've grown above all that. We lift up above it. I want to tell you what we'll do if we're not careful. And Lord, help all of us, because I'm not here tonight. I don't have the ability. No man does to say who at this time is a tare and who's a wheat. He said we'll have to separate that out at the end. And God will do it. Jesus, who knows the depths of all hearts, will do it at that time. But what the Lord, what we'll do if we're not careful is we'll get down into the weeds and never rise up above it. The tares are in the motions and doing, it says they're the children of the devil. There's plantings there to discourage, to do that. But the Lord has something greater than all that for His people. I believe that. Jesus suffered all those things, and do you know what? It was not very long into the gospel dispensation that the followers of Christ lived just like Christ did. It was what he showed the example for. And His people come along, and they begin to be martyred like He was. They begin to suffer like He did. They begin to rise above it, though. They did not revile back. They didn't fight. They didn't do that struggling. They lived above that, or raised up above it. I believe above all of that is a solid wheat field. Solid wheat field that you can look on. I think that's what it really is when you look. I think the church is and should be made up of, when you look, you see what's raising up above all the rest of it. And it shows itself out there. True Christianity, true love of God is above all the rest of it. Lord, help us to accept it tonight. We want to fight it. We don't want it to be so. But it will always be so. There will always be, in your life, tares. There will always be something that looks close, acts close, does everything up to the point of what really matters, bears fruit to God. Dress right, go to the right places, go to service, even testify possibly. You know, all of those things are good, but it's fruit that counts. It's fruit. It's fruit that makes it wheat or makes it tares. That's how you know at the end of it. Lord, help us to bear fruit for Christ. Look at another scripture with me. I want to look at Acts, the 20th chapter. The 21st verse says, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Wait a minute, Paul. You're going knowing that there is a whole field full of tares up there. Yep. The Holy Ghost witnessed that bonds and afflictions wait you there. They're not going to receive you well. Most of them's not. But he says here, but none of these things move me. Why? Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know where Paul was going to show the grace of God? It wasn't sitting around with friends. Sure. Everybody patting him on the back saying, Paul, I've appreciated your ministry so much. Stay right here with us and we'll just get a little group and we'll do a little poll when they come in and make sure that they like you and that they think you're a swell guy. And we'll let them into our little organization and group, and that way you'll never have to worry about any of it. And Paul said, no. I'm going up there where the bonds and afflictions wait, that I might be able to prove the great grace of God. to show that no matter, none of these things move me. I got solid. I've learned how to be solid in my life. Got something more important than that. I love Jesus to the point that I'll go and work His work anywhere. I want to feel God. I want to know God. I want the glory of God. I want to show to people that there's the grace of God. Listen, I feel for anybody's lot in life, especially when it's less than mine, but I can't help that. But the only thing that I can say is if your lot is worse than mine in life, that there is the grace of God for your situation. You say, well, Brother Marty, you've never done or went through what I've been through. And I'll say that's true. But I know this, the grace of God is available to all people. I know the grace of God. I don't know your situation. I've had people say to me, but you don't know how bad my marriage is. No, I don't. And I thank God that I had a first marriage that was good, and I got a second marriage that's very good. I can't relate to the badness of it. But I still say that there's grace of God that overdoes anything else. And if you're in that situation, the best thing that you could do is delight in the Lord. And show the great grace of God. It is your lot to do it. And it goes for any of the situations that there is in life. I had to struggle very much at the loss of my first wife. But there was grace of God for it. I'm not embittered at all to God. I thank God for what He done. You know why? I believe He saved her. I think He gave me grace to go through it. I think we're all better off because of God. That's the way I see it. God has worked in my life. And it showed the great grace of God to me. To me, to my heart. It made me solid to go through those things. I believe God more now than I've ever believed Him before. Because He showed Himself true. He showed Himself right. Paul says these things don't move me, should they? Should they? They're just things of life. I don't count my life dear to myself. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus to use at His will, to do whatever He wants to glorify His own name, to lift up the cause of God. I give my life to it. If He takes me, my life's His. If He sends me up there for a little bit of bonds and afflictions, then in another passage He said, these light afflictions are just for a moment. They don't last very long anyway. And you can't compare them to the glory of God. Just small things that happen to people's life. They whipped Him, throwed Him into prison, treated Him foul and all the way. But He said, none of these things move me. Because I got something else that I depend on. My emotional man depends on Him. He settles me. My natural man, I depend on the Lord. My spiritual man depends on the Lord. My outlook on life depends on the Lord. Not the circumstances. The circumstances look bleak. Naturally. But the spiritual outlook look bright. The Lord will go with me all the way. I think He said in one place, if God be for you, who can be against you? If God is on our side tonight, then what can the tares do? But make us stronger, better, more able, more capable to live for the Lord in the right way. Look at another scripture. Over in 1 Corinthians. Oh, let's see. Fourth chapter. Paul makes an argument here. I say it this way, for my message's sake. With some tares he was dealing with. In his life, he says, first verse, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing. A very small thing. I want us to get a hold of that, what Paul was saying. Not just small. A very small thing. Very unweighty. Unimportant. It's not important. Lord, help us to what we make important and what we make not important. Paul said in this situation, it's a very unimportant thing. It's not important at all. It's a very small thing to me that I should be judged of you. Boy, I sure care what people think. I do. You do too. But to what point? To what place? It's important to me to be a part of this body in fellowship and acceptability. It's important to me. Very important to me. It's weighty. But Paul says that this is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgments. Why? Because I don't judge myself. I got something higher than that. It's the commandments of the Lord is my delight. I've never looked at my own opinion as being valid, as being valuable. I used to persecute the church, Paul could have said. I thought I was doing right and I found out I was doing wrong. I thought I was a good fellow and I was a bad one. So therefore I got to learn something back then. I learned how to deal with some things. I learned how to deal with the accusations of people and all those things. It's a small matter to me that you judge me because I don't judge me. I let the Word of God judge me. I wait until the Lord comes and anything in my life. Let me give some counsel tonight. Be easily entreated. Listen to things. Don't take it hard. I told some brother last night. I remember one time here, Brother Stanley was pastor here and he come back one after service one day and he put his arm up around me and he said, Brother Marty, I'd like to tell you something. I got a little bit of advice for you. And I said, speak on, brother. If you got something for me, I want it. Now listen, I wasn't trying to claim that he was always right or that I knew any such thing. He was lending me something of love that he wanted to impart to me. Got something for you, and I want to impart it to you. And I wanted to hear what it was. Brother, tell me. I want to hear it. Be honest with you. I'll just be honest with you. I knew that when I told him that, I was going to ask the Lord about it when it got through. But he gave me something sound. He gave me something sound. With his arm around me, he gave me something sound. And I said, I'm going to take your advice, Brother Stanley. I'm going to take your advice. I'm going to tell you tonight, it won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. Being willing won't hurt you. Being willing to accept things won't hurt you. But ask God. Be willing to ask God. If it doesn't register true to you, say, Lord, is it possible that I'm missing something? Is it possible that while men slept, I slept? That the Lord might have snuck something in here? I can't see it any more than anybody. I can't tell it. Lord, I need you to measure this thing before the judgment time comes. I need you to look into me before I have to give an account, the last account. I want to know if there's anything growing in here. I want to know if this is right or if it's not right. Paul says it's a small matter if you judge me because, listen, and what he was saying is, I listen to all that, and if you say something, I'm going to take that to heart and ask the Lord about it. Anyway, so it's not a big matter that you judge me. Don't take it wrong. It's a very small thing to me. I want to ask God about it. I want to know what the Lord says about this. The one that sees through everything. Anybody in here ever get bad advice? Back in 95, felt like the Lord dealt with me to quit my job and go full-time in the work of the Lord. And somebody told me, you'll never be supported. That's what they told me. There's very few. There's been others tried it. Said, it'll not work. You'll not do it. It's a small thing to me. I went and asked the Lord about it. Lord, I'll make sure here. What are you saying? I got confirmation from the Lord. Went right on. Can I tell you something? The Lord will supply it. He'll supply. The Lord will support you. He's been faithful to me. For going on next year will be 20 years. And I'm going to say this. I had a little money when I went out full time, and I've still got it. The barrel never run dry. What I had when I started, I never went under it. I still have that little handful. Always the Lord provided. Do you know the Lord can provide through the tares? The Lord can provide from the world. I've had the Lord provide from all different sources. So why can't I say, my delight's in the Lord? Why can't I say, the Lord is my helper? Why can't I say that it doesn't matter what is growing up around me? The Lord will help me get above it. The Lord will help me to grow above those things. If I trust in the Lord, I believe the whole field could be tares. If I've got a determination that I'm going to live for God, it doesn't matter what the people around, you'll only use it to step on. One after another, I've stepped on them. Thank the Lord for another step. He brought me another step to get up a little higher. There was a man in the scriptures named Daniel. Daniel was surrounded by unbelief, false religion, and idolatry. All the way around him, tares grew. He almost was single there. There was a few others, but he was a very few. And they tried on a number of occasions. There was an attempts against Daniel. Everything that was happening. He was a part of the wise men one time. You remember the story? And the king had a dream and says, bring the wise men to me. And they bring the wise men, the soothsayers, the astrologers to come. And the king says to them, said, I had a dream and I want you to interpret it. And they say, king, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. He said, can't, I forgot it. If you're wise men, you tell me what I dreamed. And then they start, oh, well, now who could do a thing like, no, you claim you have power. You claim you can see. You claim the astrology. You claim the gods. Now you tell me. They couldn't do it. So the king says, put them to death. Daniel hears it and says, now wait a minute. No man can do that. But I know one that can. Another stepping stone for Daniel. God allowed the events to look so bad. Daniel got a little higher up in the kingdom. A humble man. But he arose head and shoulders above the tares. Did he not? But they was frauds. They was make-believes. They never fruited. They only act like they was something. They didn't fruit. But Daniel went to the king and said, king, my God showed me your dream and the interpretation thereof. Must be God. Must be God. You know what? That's what God is after in our lives. He's after, it must be God. He's after them saying, that's not human. That's not natural. He went through all of that and yet he's head and shoulders above. He's got grace. He's got power. He's got love. He's got forgiveness. He's not a tear. It's the real thing in the midst of them. Daniel was only faithful to his God. And they said the spirits of the holy gods are in him. They recognized something special about him. But as tares will do, they became envious and jealous of the blessing that was on him. You know what happens right around
Church of God?
Oh. Somebody acting wrong? Oh, a false doctrine popped up. You tell me when it didn't happen. It happened in Paul's day. It's happened in my lifetime. It happened in Warner's lifetime. And it'll happen in my children's lifetime too. As long as this thing goes on, we're going to have to contend with and know what it's. We shouldn't let that deter us. Lord, help us in the midst of it. And possibly there's a conversion for this, what do you say, illegitimate seed. This illegitimate that was planted there and put there. Possibly by a movement of the Lord, these things can be altered and changed. We can't change the nature of anything, but God can change the illegitimate wheat into real wheat. Daniel was true. And they was jealous. So they went to the king and said, King, hypocrisy, fraudulent. They went to the king and said, we want to honor you. We want to lift you up, O king. We want people to know that you're king, and we want to have this place to where you are honored and you alone, that nobody can make a petition of God or man except for to you for 30 days. Oh, he liked that. Well, who wouldn't? That looked pretty good. Everybody in the kingdom can only ask, well, that's pretty good there. They were fraudulent. They were tares, weeds. They didn't have true concern for the king. They wasn't true servants, as apostle said, that a man be found faithful. Faithful. They wasn't faithful. So you know the story? They made the decree. The king puts his stamp on it. Can't be changed. You know, if he changed that, it wouldn't be no rule at all. He knew that. Once it was decreed, he knew that it had to mean it. So it meant it. So they went, they couldn't find any occasion against Daniel in any other thing, and they knew it, but they seen that he threw his window open and he prayed 3 times a day. You're going to catch old Daniel now, but I'm going to tell you, that wheat had already headed, the fruit was full. Old Daniel was showing himself way above these men of jealousy and all that. He knew the decree, and he went and threw his window open. And he prayed, the scripture said, just like afore. Aforetime. He didn't change a thing. Oh God. My God that's kept me and raised me up and all that. Oh God. Your God? Wonder what he prayed. Could he possibly have prayed, bless the king. Bless him, Lord. Help him. Help me to withstand this trial that's about to help me, Lord. Help me to show that there is a God in heaven. And did I serve that God? Who's to say? But he prayed. And they went and told the king. Didn't you make this decree? I sure did. Didn't you stamp it? Yes, I did. There's one named Daniel that has broken your law. Oh, you know, the king had respect for Daniel. But he had to go through with it. Take him. Put him into the lions. Lion's going to eat him up. Daniel was among tares. And they rose. They caused him to rise to prominence all the way through his life. One more. How could you honor Daniel more than say the man that the lions couldn't eat? The man that the Spirit of God was on so much that the lions could not eat him. But when they threw the other guys in there, they had an appetite. But they couldn't eat Daniel. And he rose up out of there, and was there bitterness in his heart? Was there anger in his heart? Oh, King, live forever. My God is able to deliver me out of this. He rose on all these things. Who dares to be a Daniel? Who dares to be a faithful man? Who dares to look above those trials and the temptations and what people can do? Lord, help us. Who can dare to raise up to that kind of a place? That's what the Lord, he said, you want us to tear them? You want us to get rid of those things? No. Leave them there. Leave them there. Let them grow up together. Grow up together. Why? Sure gets close in here. Sure gets tight in here. You know, I find this to be true all my Christian life. I have been challenged. Am I going to shrink down and be insignificant weed with bitternesses and envies and going on with a profession? Or am I going to grow above this? Am I, by the help of the Lord, going to get above all of the pettiness and all of all this stuff down here? Am I going to be able, Lord, help me to be able in this present time to rise above it, that it can be said, there's something that's genuine and true and right there in the middle of it. I've had my challenges before. Am I going to be a wheat or am I going to be a tear? I hope I haven't been a tear to many of you. But Lord, help us. They're going to be there. I remember years ago, I had a situation happen in my life and I batted it around. I prayed about it. I looked into it and I come to the determination, here's the answer. This is where I'm going to stand. This is what position I'm going to hold, and convinced myself that it was a good one. It was very righteous. It was very in place. It would have made me look right, the whole deal. And I had said, that's what I'm going to do. And the Lord dealt with me. And he come to me in this sense, and I'll challenge you with it tonight too. We read the books of the saints. We read how God gave grace in special places. You know what I'm saying? Daniel, you read that. I like to read Hudson Taylor and George Mueller, and I like to read about Brother Pruitt, and I like to read about those that went before and the trials that they had and the grace that God gave them to overcome those situations. And the Lord challenged me and said, I want you to write that story the way you would want it printed, to glorify God. You know, when I started thinking about writing that, my version was so petty, so unspiritual, and so victoryless that I had to start, Lord, if I was to write this, that I wanted to encourage the world to God, this is the way I'd write it. And I started writing it out in my mind. And I'll tell you, I was altogether different. It was altogether different story. I got the vision of what the high plane was. I got the vision of rising above and being wheat, being fruitful, having something of God on hand. So I want to encourage us with that today. You ain't going to like this. But if you live very long and you're very intense on living for the Lord, you're going to have troubles. And you're going to have church troubles. Huh? Well, no, wait, well, you can't say that. It's like, if you're willing to labor for the Lord, you're going to have some serious church troubles. You're going to have serious life troubles. You're going to have something. Lord, give us a vision tonight of a wheat field headed out and going to the harvest. And we're the wheat. And we fought up through the tares. We fought up through all the troubles. We fought up through the unspiritual. Unspiritual. I went in a meeting one time, and these people were not people that was even claiming to be saved. I went into this meeting one time, and I come away saying, man, it's hard to deal with carnality. It's hard to deal with that carnality. Accusations, unfounded. Accusing of this, unfounded things, unspiritual things. Ought to do this, need to do that, all these things. And it didn't fit any of the counsel of the Lord. Oh, the commandments of the Lord is our delight. You pray for me.